there was some good, but there was a lot of bad. And let's be honest, when you're on an 11-game losing streak, it's pretty much all bad. You're Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston, and welcome to a new week. And I wish I had better news for you. I wish I could tell you of great triumphs and wonderful turnarounds, and I cannot. No, I am sorry. This is the longest losing streak that any of us have seen. More losses. That's what we're going to talk about. We've been doing that a lot. It's the longest losing streak that most of us have seen in quite some time. Certainly from the Grizzlies' perspective, the longest one in 8 years. And it sucks. If you're a fan, it sucks. Sorry. There's no sugarcoating this one. We will get into, I guess, some whatever positives we can take from the Cleveland performance, which was certainly better than the second San Antonio performance. We'll talk a little bit about that and about what you can take from that. We'll look at the negatives as well. There are quite a few of those. And take a look ahead to tonight's matchup with the Minnesota Timberwolves, another team with a better record than the Grizzlies, and looking to, if the Grizzlies can win, it would break, of course, the 11-game losing streak. A loss would equal the biggest loss streak in franchise history at 12. So a lot on the line. We'll talk about all of that tonight. And really, this weekend was, in so many ways, exactly what this team is all about. Right now, first of all, a lot of losing. That is unfortunately what they are all about right now. A lot of weird stuff. A lot of, I don't know if you want to call it squabbling or stupid drama. It's just stuff that doesn't need to happen. There's plenty of that going on. It gets ugly when there's a 11-game losing streak. There's also the positivity, I guess, of, you know, a performance that's better. But at the end of the day, it kind of is what it is. You know, you can look at these two losses since the last time we spoke. 95-79 loss at home to San Antonio, which was just a it was a bad deal, man. And it was a really bad finish to the game, a really dispiriting, as Marc Gasol said, embarrassing finish to the game, where the Grizzlies just kind of gave up, stopped playing, stopped trying, and let it get really ugly really quickly. Then there was a lot better effort in the game against Cleveland. Outcome was the same, but certainly a much better performance all the way around, at least something that you can, you know, take a little pride in, something you can take a little joy out of if you're a fan, to at least say, okay, you know, you go into Cleveland with a lot of injuries, you're not expected to win no matter what. Certainly a team that's on a 10-game winning streak against a team that at the time was on a 10-game losing streak, that's pretty easy. And lo and behold, that's what happened, but at least the manner of it was much more fulfilling than what you had seen on Friday. But let's go back to Friday, okay? So let's go back and let's talk, because something weird happened on Friday. And I, for one, you guys know me. We keep it real here on this podcast, Locked On Grizzlies. We're not messing around. I'm not here for political stuff. I'm not here to accept the spin of the organization or anyone else. I'm here to give you what I think. I'm here to give you what I know. And we'll talk about it. And I'm happy, dissenting opinions are welcome on top of everything else. But let me just say this. What happened Friday was another example of the drama that surrounds this organization right now. Most of it unnecessary. And you can see it started with, honestly, Mike Conley finally being made available to talk to us in the media. And Mike had some great answers to some questions, and I asked him about a lot of different things. And you can check my Twitter feed for one of the more relevant and interesting answers about him being kind of a mediator between David Fizdale and Marc Gasol, and him being a mediator to a lot of other things happening on the team too. And it got me to thinking about, you know, Mike's role in his absence and how valuable the guy is, because he's really, in so many cases, truly an adult. And everybody else, you know, it seems at one time or another is reacting too strongly. Something's going. Mike is the adult in the room. Mike is a grown-up. He handles things like a grown-up. And this team has missed that quite a bit in his absence. And you can have a whole thought exercise about, you know, if Mike never goes out, does any of this happen? Probably not. Not only on the court, because their record is going to clearly be better. They're not going to lose 8 straight with Mike. But off the court, Mike is just a guy that gets it. He's just a guy that helps to smooth things over. And, you know, whatever issues that teammates have or coaches and players have, Mike is pretty good at helping to kind of ease it along a little bit and just smooth it out and, you know, be kind of a go-between. As he said, he's sort of a amateur psychologist. Well, without that presence in the locker room, things get more fractured. Things get worse. That's certainly what happened in this case. But anyway, so that started the whole thing. It started me thinking about, you know, some of the issues that come up with teams. One of the things then that happened on Friday in the game itself, and it was highlighted by what happened Saturday. Tyreke Evans on Friday night goes the entire first half without so much as taking a shot. 0 for 0 for Tyreke Evans. 0 points, 0 for 0. Now, you go and scour the record books, that has never happened for Tyreke Evans ever at any point. When he has played in a half of basketball throughout his entire NBA career, he has always taken at least one shot. Most players do. It's hard to play as many minutes as Tyreke Evans played in that first half and not take a shot. It didn't get a whole lot better in the second half. He was 1 of 7 in the second half. But, I mean, for Tyreke, again, that's not a big output. And I want you to go back and watch. And I did. You go back and watch the way that went down. After the game, I asked around about it. And the essential gist of it was that there was most of the explanation seems to be that there was a miscommunication between JB Bickerstaff and Tyreke, that JB wanted him to be more of a facilitator, and Tyreke took that to mean that he should just not pass the ball, or rather just not shoot the ball at all. And let me stop for a second here. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about what's wrong with that explanation. All right, so Tyreke Evans goes through the entire first half of the game against San Antonio, and really the game itself, and is utterly and completely passive. And the explanation, again, given was, well, okay, you know, they want him to be more of a facilitator, more of a passer, pass first, shoot second. And they had a miscommunication there, and but that was resolved, and all that's cool. I don't buy it. I don't buy it, because if you're a facilitator first, you've got to be more aggressive and actually facilitate. What happened with Tyreke was he was a non-factor. He just kind of dribbled down, and I've watched every one of those possessions in that game multiple times, and he just dribbles down, and he's just kind of not part of it. And go back and watch the Cleveland game when he decides he is a part of it, and he was spectacular in that ball game. Spectacular. Tyreke's probably been, I mean, you know, coin flip between he and Mark, but best player on the team. And he can facilitate, as he did against Cleveland, 12 assists, and score, as he did against Cleveland, 31 points. So when he takes himself out of it altogether, that is not an accident. That is not, in my mind, a miscommunication. That is a message that he's trying to send. Now, the question to me is the message to who and for what reason? I don't really have a good answer for that one. But, you know, this is a team that needs desperately, desperately to be able to score the basketball. And you saw it on Saturday night against Cleveland when they got scoring from Tyreek Evans and Marc Gasol. They were able to hang in there and at least give themselves a chance to win. They scored 111 points. That gives you a chance. They couldn't stop Cleveland, but at least they were in the game. Came back from a big deficit, got off to a great start. I mean, all these things that are at least stuff that you can kind of grab onto and say, all right, there's some positive things happening here. That comes from scoring. So when you have a player that willingly takes himself out of that for a half, you got a problem. Was somebody vocal with Tyreek about taking too many shots? And Tyreek's like, forget you guys, I'm just not going to take any. Maybe. Does this indicate why Tyreek Evans has never been on a winning team? Maybe. Is it indicative of some stuff going on behind the scenes? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I just know that a normal situation, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to keep it as real as I can for you guys. In a normal team situation, normal team, normal stuff, you don't see a guy that's that good offensively willingly take himself out of consideration altogether. Particularly Tyreek Evans, who is, he's a shoot first guy. My God, if anything that we've seen this year would tell you anything about Tyreek Evans, it's that he likes to go out there and get buckets. He's a bucket getter. So to just say, like, I'm not going to get any buckets, I'm done with that. It's not, I don't buy miscommunication at all. Don't buy it. So what does that mean going forward? I guess we'll find out tonight. The formula that you saw against Cleveland, because, you know, you could chalk up JB Bickerstaff's first two losses. Both were against San Antonio. You know, San Antonio's really good. They are uniquely difficult defensively. All these things that you know, you could throw in there and you could say, okay, well, there's a lot of reasons why this is difficult for anyone to win. Now, again, this goes back and it heightens the reason, you know, ask the question why you didn't just let David Fizdale coach those games and then fire him so as to make Marc Gasol look like less of a coach killer in the eyes of most. But that's another discussion for another day. So we saw the Grizzlies against Cleveland. It's a different team, different group, and that gives you a little bit of a different indication of how they can play. The formula against Cleveland was that Marc Gasol and Tyreek Evans took just over half of the Grizzlies' shots. That is absolutely what has to happen with Mike Conley out. That is exactly what has to happen. I mean, that's perfect. You need those guys to shoot all the time. You need those guys to be far and away your biggest offensive threats. That is the entire point. Who else do you want shooting that ball? You want a big dose of Jarrell Martin? You want a big dose of Mario Chalmers? You want a big dose of Ben McLemore, who has actually been getting better? But do you want 20 shots from him? No. You want 20 from Mark, you want 20 from Tyreek, and the rest of the shots can be distributed however they're distributed. The fact that didn't happen and it was so obvious that it was unusual that it didn't happen against San Antonio tells you so much about where things are. And it, you know, you can look and choose to say, okay, well, it was back against Cleveland because they patched things up. I hope that's the case. It was back against Cleveland because Cleveland is not a very good defensive team. Yeah, that's probably part of it, yeah. They're certainly not anywhere close to the defensive team that San Antonio is, especially in intensity level that they play. But, you know, the up and the down the inconsistency is what you think of when you think of a bad team. The inconsistency is what you think of when you think of a bad team. That's what bad teams do. Bad teams can play up or down on any given night. They are capable of going up into hostile situations against teams that are really good and play in a, you know, one good game and then parlaying that and playing just as bad the next time out. So that's what the Grizzlies are. Unfortunately, until proven otherwise, that's what the Grizzlies are. They're a bad team. A bad team that's got a lot of injuries, a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses. All those are true. Some of those are very legitimate, but facts are facts. And right now the Grizzlies are playing like a bad team because the Grizzlies are a bad team. The Grizzlies' status as a bad team is confirmed by looking at the standings. It's the easiest way to figure out who's good and who's bad. Well, take a look at the Grizzlies right now. 7-15 after this 11-game losing streak. And just over the quarter point of the season, the Grizzlies are tied for the fourth worst record in the NBA. That means that only three teams have worse records than the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are 4.5 games now out of the final spot in the Western Conference, and you have to start thinking about that in terms of Mike Conley's return, what you expect when he comes back, when do you start to really panic, all that sort of thing. These are the kinds of things that finally catch up with you. And let's be fair, like the back of the Western Conference this year is doing them tremendous favors. No one is running away with it. Only recently have we seen kind of Utah figure a few things out. The Thunder appear to be getting a little bit better in that regard. New Orleans had been playing better, but now it looks like they've lost Anthony Davis for a long time, maybe for the season. So they're right back into uncertainty. The Clippers, the injury situation with Blake is really bad. They're playing really badly. They've lost now three straight. A lot of teams are doing the Grizzlies a lot of favors in the back end of the West to at least allow them not to lose touch. They're still there. They're a long way from where they need to be, but they, you know, in another circumstance, if you had teams that were much more solid, the Grizzlies could find themselves even further out. But that lead finally now, or that deficit, I should say, is finally kind of extending more than it was. Now, finally, you're seeing there is, unfortunately, now a fair bit of space the Grizzlies are going to have to make up and have to climb over some teams in order to do it. Certainly possible. No reason to totally freak out yet, but you're starting to get further and further away. And we talked about it before. When Mike Conley comes back, presumably the thought is that he's coming back towards the end of this month. There's still quite a bit of basketball to be played between now and then. Let's say he comes back in 2 weeks. So in that week right before Christmas, Golden State, Phoenix, Clippers, you know, most of those on the road. There's going to be a lot of road trip, a lot of West Coast road trips. Basically, the last 2 weeks of December and going into the first week of January is virtually entirely played on the West Coast. Golden State, Phoenix, Lakers, Golden State again. Couple of games, or Sacramento, then back to the Clippers. There's lots of games played out on the West Coast. Let's say he comes back at the beginning of that stretch. Between now and then, there are 8 games, 6 of them in FedEx Forum. If the Grizzlies can't go 3-3 in those 6, then 2-4 puts you at, 9-19? Going to that Golden State game, 9-19, 8-20, or the obvious worst case scenario, 7-21, if you lose all of them. And the Grizzlies are on an 11 game losing streak, but I just don't think they're going to lose all of those games. I think somewhere in there, they're going to find a way to to get it done in the next six. I just think this thing's not going to extend to 17. But those six home games that you've got, two road games are tricky. At New York, the Knicks not playing all that well. Porzingis, you know, missing some time. That's obviously a big factor in what happens on Wednesday. But they're still playing reasonably well, and they're at 500 right now, and the Wizards are quite good. So let's just look at those six home games. Are you going to lose all six? That would mean a 13-game home losing streak in addition to what would overall be, you know, let's throw in the road game. That would be a 19-game losing streak overall. I can't see that happening. So at some point, you're going to find the win. And I think tonight has a decent chance of making that happen. If you can find the combination of Mike, or of Mark and Tyreek, rather, if you could find those guys, get on the same page as they were against Cleveland, make sure you're taking 20-plus shots each. Those guys have to just keep just feeding them. Both guys. Mark took 11 shots in his first game against San Antonio after David Fizdale's firing. That you can't have that. Tyreek not taking a single shot in the first half. Yeah, that's totally unacceptable. You cannot have. Those guys have to be extremely prolific. And if they can, the Wolves are a team that's still a little flaky. As good as they are, talented as they are, not the greatest defensive team, a little bit psychologically still dealing with some stuff with that team, making some adjustments to the way they have to play now with Jimmy Butler and, you know, trying to find some consistency. So I think you could see the Grizzlies break that losing streak tonight. But they got to fix the psychological stuff. They got to fix what's going on. And here's the other thing. So if you can't at least get yourself to a 3-5 in the next eight, get yourself back in the mix, win some home games before Mike Conley comes back. By the time he comes back, if you find yourself 12, 13, 14 games under 500, then what's he coming back for? You know, at what point is too far gone? You know, we'll talk about that later on this week. If things keep getting worse and worse, at what point are you too far gone? But Conley, the motivation for him to come back and to fight through, because he's going to be in some pain. Even when he comes back, even when he's fully, or as rehabbed as he can get, this is still an injury where there's going to be some pain. He still has to deal with it. He's kind of dealt with it for most of his career. What's he coming back for? What's he coming back to fight through? How's he doing all that? And is the motivation going to be there when your team is that far gone? And for the Grizzlies, obviously, there is that other elephant in the room of the potential tank situation that makes an awful lot of sense, especially if you're going to be bad anyway, for a team that is desperate for talent in a draft that is really loaded with talent. Why wouldn't you tank? Not yet. Not yet. Long way from that point. But if things don't start turning around soon, these are the things you're going to have to start thinking about. These are the things you're going to have to start thinking about. And it's going to come up. It's going to come up. I say all that to say a win against Minnesota is vital. Vital. You don't want to equal that worst losing streak of all time. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you've let another home game slip. You don't want to let this thing set in with a rot so deep that even Mike Conley can't fix it. You got to clear the air, get some positivity. I spent some time talking to Dylan Brooks after the game on Friday, and you know, the kid has got a good attitude, and he's pretty low-key. But, you know, I asked him, has he ever been through anything like this? And this is a guy that when you go into the league, you know, I don't know that he's lost 10 games in very many seasons. much less 10 in a row. And that's what it was when I talked to him, and it extended to 11, obviously. But, you know, that's wearing on you psychologically, especially for a young guy. And his role has, you know, been bigger than he would have imagined, than most of us would have imagined going into the season. So, like, how do you deal with that? In his shoes, how do you handle that? That's tough. Really, really tough. And you could tell it was wearing on him. It's, you know, he even as low-key and as just kind of, you know, he's got that Canadian kind of just real chill vibe. As much as that is still very much there, you could sense frustration, irritation, as most of those guys are. You know, Mark was very unhappy on Friday after that game. The Grizzlies needed to come back with a better performance on Saturday, and they did, but it's still, the stuff is still simmering. That Tyreek stuff, still something's not right. Something's going on there. There's still some bubbling frustration. Let's talk about Mario Chalmers. The minutes continue to diminish, and rightly so. And his performances, you know, it's here's a little nugget for you. I don't know. You can look at lots of different reasons why this might be the case. I'm not just going to sit here and, you know, throw Mario Chalmers under the bus because he's not the reason why the Grizzlies are in the position they're in. But as a 7-15 team, the Grizzlies are 3-2 in games where Mario Chalmers takes fewer than 5 shots. 3-2 in those games, which means, you do the math, the Grizzlies are 4-13 when Chalmers takes 5 or more. So as bad as the record is, it's worse as Mario Chalmers jacks up shots. And I think that tells you the limitations of his offense at this point. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's an association rather than a specific causation here. I want to make that clear. I'm not saying that Mario Chalmers shooting is the reason why Grizzlies lose games, but I do think there is an association there between Chalmers getting more and more offensively active with his own shot and the Grizzlies losing games. Because we've seen it's not happening. It's not happening for him. I do think the minutes diminishing is something that is a good thing in general, and would be a better thing if the Grizzlies had somebody else to jump in and had more talent that was healthy to actually step in and be able to do something. To take even more of that pressure off. Because I think the Chalmers, whatever honeymoon there was in the preseason, it's starting to come to an end pretty abruptly. Injury-wise for tonight's matchup, by the way, pretty much the same as it was in Cleveland the other night. There will be no Mike Conley, no Wayne Selden, no Chandler Parsons, no Brandon Wright, all of them with the same injuries that we've talked about. Hopeful, I think the organization at least continues to be hopeful that Chandler Parsons will be back sooner rather than later. That remains to be seen, of course, with Chandler. Same thing with Brandon Wright. Mike Conley, they've listed as a 2 or 3 week situation, so that, you know, clearly that's going to be towards the end of the month, closer to Christmas time. Wayne Selden is still, like Kawhi, kind of hanging out there, same injury, same deal, just don't know. At least Selden got back on the court for like a half a second this year before then unceremoniously having to leave again with the same kind of injury. So I have no idea what the situation's going to be for him. We'll talk obviously about all of that on tomorrow's episode. We do a little post game and kind of see if we can't figure out what's going on. It'll either be a post game of historic proportions on the bad side where the Grizzlies tie their worst ever losing streak, or historic proportions on the good side where finally they break the 11-game losing streak, one or the other. We will talk about it tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. As always, get in touch with me. You can do that. I am pedmiston@gmail.com if you want to email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. Again, shoot me an email. Would love to do that. Also on Twitter, @PeterEdmiston, just my name, @PeterEdmiston. Please feel free to send me a tweet, an email, something. Let me know what's going on, and I will hopefully be able to, and I'd like to do a mailbag. We did one about a month ago. It's been, I like to do one every 2-3 weeks or so, so we're maybe a little overdue for a mailbag, but all these losses will kind of add up, and I can't even imagine what your questions would be at this point. Cannot even imagine, but we'll throw them out there. So sometime this week, I think we'll do another mailbag, so looking forward to that. Get your questions ready, start thinking about it, and we'll open up the mailbag here very, very shortly. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating. For those of you that have, I really appreciate that tremendously. It is awesome. Thank you for doing that. And if you haven't and you want to, I would love it. It would be really, really cool, especially those 5-star ratings. Thank you for all of that. Please help the podcast continue to grow and get better. For all of us here at Locked On Grizzlies, which pretty much is me, thank you so much for listening and downloading the podcast. We'll talk tomorrow on Locked On Grizzlies.